Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly Sex and the City podcast where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. As ever, you are joined by Juno Dawson and Dylan B. Jones, and this week we are joined with by a very special guest. It is the multi-hyphenate content creating internet mogul Callie Thor.
Hi!
Welcome to So I Got to Thinking.
I'm so excited for this.
Randomly, we're listening to So I Got to Thinking, like, way back in season one.
Yeah.
And I saw you mention us in your Instagram stories.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we had, like, a million new followers. And I was like, what has happened? And you always know. Like, when your followers jump up, you're like, what has Dolly Alderton said this? And so it's like, I'm always interested, and sure enough, it was your recommendation. And then I slid into your DMs and I was like, Callie, would you like to come on the podcast?
I was so chuffed when you said that, because obviously what it was is, like, my friend Mila and I started watching, we started rewatching Sex and the City, and we were texting about every episode being like, oh my God, like, rewatch that, and it's so, I can't believe I saw that, and that really pissed me off. And then we were going through it, and then someone actually DM'd me and they were like, have you heard of this podcast? And I was like, no. And I started listening to it, and then I started talking about it, because I was like, just, it's actually, so many people are really interested in it, like, as in this concept of Sex and the City is actually quite interesting when you rewatch it again a few times. You see things in a completely different light to when you very first watched it. So I was like, oh yeah, definitely. I loved it.
It's of its time, and the fact it's coming back has prompted a whole new conversation about it can't get away with the things it did. I mean, and I think it would be true. I think it was somewhat true when they brought Will and Grace back. If they ever attempted to bring Friends back, like, how are they going to talk about, I mean, it's difficult, but Chandler's dad.
Yeah.
Who is clearly a transgender woman being played by a cisgender actress. You know, how would you do that in 2020?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And which episode are we studying this week, Dylan?
We are doing season 3, episode 14, Sex and Another City. We were in LA last week. We're still in LA. Shall I do the synopsis?
Please do. If only there was a phrase to describe our weekly synopsis.
Oh, I know. Why don't we call it the potted synopsis?
I think we should, because we've been doing it for about 100 weeks now.
God, I can't believe we're almost at the end of season 3 already.
Time flies when you're in lockdown.
Yeah, so they're still in LA. Carrie meets Vince Vaughn. I can't remember the characters. He's not playing himself. He's playing Matt Damon's...
Keith.
Matt Damon's manager or agent.
PA. He's actually a PA.
Sexy. Looking good, Vince Vaughn, I think. Mm. And then what else is happening? Miranda meets back up with a guy who she knew from New York, thinking that he's going to be really cynical about LA like her, but actually LA has changed him. Samantha meets Hugh Hefner, and the girls get invited to the Playboy Mansion. And Charlotte gets sick of Trey and comes out to LA to see the girls, which I love when she shows up.
This one, so obviously we're watching them in order. So last week felt much more serious and much more sort of philosophical, and Carrie was having all kinds of existential drama about who is Carrie Bradshaw. This one is kind of pure comedy.
Yeah.
In that, like, every plot line is ridiculous. there is so much to talk about. The question that we will... So in the second half, we will get to their big question, which is actually quite an interesting one, which is basically, is it what's on the outside that counts? Which is really interesting. And that sort of taps into the notion that New York is this deeply intellectual, philosophical place, whereas LA is shallow and superficial, and what's on the outside is much more important than what's on the inside. So in the second half, we will get to that, and we will talk about appearance, because I think it's something that all three of us will have a lot to say about in terms of the way that people perceive you.
Yeah.
But for now, in the first half, let's just talk about all the ridiculous nonsense, starting off with Carrie's pubic hair.
Oh my God, so yes!
So it turns out, so I've done, this morning I've spent some time researching pubic hair. Now, a Brazilian can mean lots of different things, because actually, nowadays, if you were to go down to your local spa, I guess, beauty salon, and asked for a Brazilian, they would probably leave a little patch of hair.
A landing strip, they call it.
A landing strip. If you want it all gone, it's a Hollywood.
Yeah. How funny. Maybe they rebranded after watching this episode.
Which is, they're in Hollywood, so maybe...
They are, so maybe they did. I have a Hollywood. I actually have a Hollywood. That's my my preference. I do love it. Just get it all gone. Can't be arsed with it.
Is it more comfortable? Is it more comfortable?
Yeah, I just think it's just like, oh, I just feel like whilst you're doing it, like, just get rid of it all. Do you know what I mean? There's no point in leaving a little bit, and it's all just get rid of all of it. You know, it's just pointless. I just think it just feels easier. I don't know, but I just thought, I was watching it again, obviously, because you said, like, you know, have a recap and stuff, and it was just funny how, like, she was so shocked by it, and they were, like, all talking about it. But it's, like, interesting, because obviously people do have different preferences, but it's funny, because now I feel like it's more normal to say you have a Hollywood, and people are really icky about pubes. So it's almost like before, when we were watching that TV series years ago, that they were almost, like, normalising pubes. Whereas now it's like very, people aren't like that keen on talking about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's so funny. I was going to approach this question so tactfully to try and get you to talk about your preferences. I love so much that you were just like, all gone. I want the Hollywood.
Yeah.
I've been mugged, as Carrie Bradshaw would say.
I, in my like hair sculpting times, have like tried to sort of, because I don't like to be, I mean, we're going straight in, so I don't like
Let's
to be,
do
like,
go for it.
I don't like to be completely bare, but I'm also not very good at, like, I'm not like a natural kind of artist, like, I'm not very good at, like, making shapes, and so, usually I just, like, try and keep a little bit, but then just screw it up and just think, oh, I might as well just get rid, like, it's all going, it's all got to go now, because I've, like, screwed it up.
You see, I fall in the middle of the Dylan and Callie spectrum.
Right.
In that I do enjoy, a landing strip. I enjoy kind of, but now this is, we've all overshared so much this morning.
Love it.
There is a reason for this. It's because I have a mole, sort of above my pubic area. And I want it covered up. So, I mean, I could have it removed, but I just can't be arsed. But so I use a bit of a landing strip to hide a pubic mole.
I agree with Callie. I was surprised by how they were sort of talking about like a Brazilian as if it was like a sort of new thing, almost.
I think at the time it was a new thing.
No, I'm saying also it's not the first time they've covered pubes and like that conversation in Sex and City, because I don't know if it's in the later season, but Samantha has someone do a zigzag. In the shape of a zigzag. And like, she realizes then he goes around branding basically women with this weird thing, which is like kind of weird. But I just like, I do think it's like, I think the thing is, back in the day when that sort of thing happened, like, people weren't really talking about that sort of stuff. So when you were watching it as a person, just being like, oh my God, yeah, like, you can talk about this, and this kind of normalizing it a bit. But yeah, it was, for me, it was kind of, eye opening and like thinking, I thought of Brazilian until I saw that they rebranded it as Hollywood. I always thought a Brazilian was the landing strip thing. I never really knew that it changed, but it is interesting, isn't it?
There's now, if you were to go to a salon and ask for a Brazilian, they would likely leave a landing strip. If you were to ask for a full Brazilian, you might get a Hollywood. So very, very complex. But I think as well, I wonder if Sex and the City picked up on the fact that women, maybe for the first time, maybe ever, were being encouraged to spend disposable income in a way that maybe they hadn't before, because women were having children later. So you would, you know, it became much more commonplace, I think, as you went through the sort of 80s and 90s to, for example, go get your legs waxed. Whereas previously that's something you would have done at home. And eventually leg waxing went to bikini waxing. And I remember my mum going to get her bikini wax done before we went on holiday. And then I guess the bikini wax evolved into pants off, Brazilian wax. And I think as the industry, the beauty industry, obviously has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and now of course if I was to say the word vajazzle, we would all know what a vajazzle was. And that's something, you know, that the beauty industry has continued to evolve, you know. Eventually in a couple of seasons time, Samantha starts having Botox, whereas, you know, at this point Botox was the notion of, well, what in a few years time we're all going to be having poisons injected into our face to keep us looking younger. And then that will be followed by having collagen input in your face as well. So the beauty industry has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I wonder if it was the writers sensing that the beauty industry
was about to kick off,
was changing in a massive, massive way. And the fact that all, well, Charlotte and Carrie in particular, are startled that they would have pube wax is nuts. Because now it's, we're all just like, well, of course you would do that. So we've got Carrie's bald vagina. Should we do a big feminist discussion about the politics of pubic hair? Do we need to, or is it just about bodily autonomy?
I think body autonomy all the way, really, because I would never judge someone, and like I would be like livid if my husband was like made some sort of comment about what he wanted. It's like, it's not really his choice, but like, it's just my decision. And I also have, like, in the summer I started using like a, what's it called, IPL, like at home IPL device as well on my like legs and stuff. And like when I was like presenting it to my audience, I was like, oh, you know, you don't have to do this, because you do feel like sometimes you're a bad feminist if you're trying to insinuate using beauty products. But it's like, for me, it's like, what's the difference with me wearing makeup and promoting makeup versus me saying I like to have my legs smooth because when I get into bed and I have fresh bedding, I love that feeling on my legs. Like, that is literally like, I know it sounds so futile, but I love that feeling. So it's just like things like that. It's like you feel like bad, but also it's like your personal preference and what you enjoy. I don't know.
100%. I'm right there with you on the fresh bedding, on the silky legs.
Lovely.
It is one of life's true pleasures.
I have never known that pleasure. There's the opposite of male privilege for you. Yeah. Male disadvantage, not knowing.
You should
try it. Just go
try it. Give it a go.
And maybe I think
Chris would love you to have smooth legs for a bit, because it would be like you were like a porpoise or a dolphin. That would be a treat for him to imagine life with a merman.
Do you know what is interesting? I was thinking about this with the gays. And with the gays, there doesn't seem to be an in-between. Like, gays seem to love either really hairy or super smooth, and, like, there isn't an in-between. I'm sure loads of gay men listening now will be like, oh, actually, like, it's fine, there is. But, the two main schools of preference are, like, either really hairy or really smooth. Interestingly, things are trending towards the hairier now these days.
I love hairy men.
I'm a big fan of hairy men. But we have staggered. We keep doing this. This is such a thing with this podcast, which is quite idly we have staggered into quite choppy feminist issues. Because, you know, if this is something that is not affecting men, and Dylan, you've just said this has never even crossed your mind.
Then
I think body hair is a feminist issue in a way that it's not for men. And
totally.
You know, I remember, it was around the same time, I really clearly remember Julia Roberts turning up at the premiere of Notting Hill with hairy armpits. And everybody being scandalised that Julia Roberts would have hairy armpits. And so body hair is, it's it's a thing. And I mean, Kathleen Moran writes about pubic hair in How to Be a Woman as well. And she celebrates the full bush in a way that later on, yeah, Smith-Gerrard prefers a full bush.
Yes.
And so pubic hair will return to Samantha's life later as well when she gets, she gets a grey pube.
What do both of you think about, because you two will know this better than me, what do you two think about, like, what do straight men think these days about pubic hair? Do you think they're more evolved than before? Like,
no, I don't think so, sadly. My husband's like, obviously just like whatever. Like, he doesn't care, and he's always said that and does not bother him. But I definitely, like, you just know that there are some, like, you know, you see those stupid TikToks or like, like memes that come up on like Banter Bus Barry's Instagram or whatever, whatever they're called these days, you know, and it's like, but it's just, I almost feel like people tear it down quite quickly now. It's like what used to be quite common to make, like, to sort of make fun of, like, now people just like underneath, like, piss off basically, because it's like, I saw it as well, where people, like, where there's this new trend of like men saying that they like won't go down on women and stuff, and it's like they feel like it's a badge of honor. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I don't do it. But it's like, actually, it just makes you just look like a loser, in my opinion. I don't know why. I just feel like it's just sometimes people just want to make a statement for something that probably isn't even true. Like, I don't think, I think most of the time when you're in a relationship and you're comfortable with the person, things like that just aren't that important in the end. Like, they just...
Totally. You
know, yeah, I don't know.
I remember we find ourselves in Trans Corner. I remember right at the beginning of my transition, I thought if a gentleman caller was to see me with even the suggestion of a body hair, that would be the game over. And actually, it was actually one of my cis friends who once told me, she was like, no man is going to turn down sex because you haven't shaved your legs for a couple of days. They're just delighted to get the invite, kind of.
Exactly.
And I think that's true with pubic hair as well. I think porn certainly has created a sort of a very pornified body, which is always super, super hairless. And always, you know, if I'm ever watching porn, and if a woman in particular has pubic hair, actually, if anybody has pubic hair in pornography, I'm always quite surprised. I'm like, oh, look at that. She's got pubes. And it's a delightful surprise. So I think a lot of teenage boys who have grown up with broadband pornography are quite surprised when they see women with pubic hair.
Yeah.
To the extent where I know there's been work done in schools where a generation of boys didn't realise that girls have pubic hair because their sex education had been largely delivered through porn.
Do you remember that 80s video that I went to a Catholic school, so I think mine might have been different to like other schools, but there was like a video they did which was like, when a man meets a woman, which is like, obviously now we're like, you know, anyone can meet anyone, but it's like when a man meets a woman and they fall in love, they want to have a baby, and they show like two people naked, and the woman had like a massive, like huge bush, which was almost like they glued it on or something. And like, obviously the boys were just hysterical laughing, just being like, oh my God, oh. But I think almost it's like, it's you see that and then they just think that's weird. But I swear it looked like it was glued on. It didn't look real. But I almost think they did that intentionally because they didn't really want to show the woman's vagina on there, which is like, so it was almost feel like an intentional decision. But I just find that whole thing just so interesting because, yeah, like there was people in the class that were just like horrified. And I kind of always grew up around people in my like family, like we would be naked. So it's not like, I don't know. I just never I wasn't that kind of weirded out by it like some people were. And I guess as a plus size woman as well in particular, which is my perspective when I was even talking about kind of like the IPL journey I went on, a lot of plus size women like feel extremely nervous about having waxing or anything like that done because it's actually like a self-conscious area anyway. But when you add that to being plus size and having to go into a salon where sometimes the beds aren't even designed for your body shape and they're not catered to like deal with some of the issues that come with being plus size, it's just a very taboo subject. And so I had a lot of women write to me being like, oh, it's such a like, you know, I want to try and do at home stuff because I'm too nervous to do it actually with someone. So it's interesting how there are so many different pockets of perspective.
And that would be 100% true for trans women as well. I've just finished Jamie Windister's book as well, the non-binary sort of creator. And Jamie was saying once as a treat, they took themselves to a spa and then walked through the front doors and was like, I'm literally in the most gendered place on earth. Yeah. And they just felt incredibly triggered and almost just got the fuck out, kind of. Mm. So, yeah. So I think it's funny that beauty is one of those sort of, it can be a very triggering space. Yeah. And somehow we've managed to talk about pubic hair for 20 minutes.
Amazing. Right. Why not? let's take
a break. When we get back, we will attempt to answer Carrie's question. See you in a second.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we have been watching the episode Sex in Another City, where everybody's in LA, and Dylan and I are joined by the wonderful creator, Callie Thorpe. Okay, let's get to Carrie's question.
Yeah.
So, given that this episode aired when I was like 20, I had never been to America at that point, and I wasn't aware that there was this cultural difference between New York and LA. I just thought like America is America, right? You know, it's burgers and pancakes and Hollywood. And I didn't really understand that there was even some sort of discrepancy between the East Coast, intellectual, and the West Coast, party. I didn't really get that there was a difference. And so it was actually these two episodes where I learned that there is some sort of difference between New York and LA. And this leads Carrie to her question. She starts to enjoy herself in LA, basically. She's looking very tanned. She's wearing her lame bra and gold boots. And,
she's going to airport-sized houses with Vince Vaughn.
She's living her life.
And that house. Oh,
it's very Selling Sunset, if you've never watched Selling Sunset. She starts to wonder if there is a future for Carrie Bradshaw in LA. Maybe it's time to give up the hardened New York vibe and just marry this supposed Hollywood agent and live the high life. And Miranda is having a journey of her own as well, in that she meets a guy who used to write for Letterman, who is now, I think they insinuate he's writing for Friends, given that he writes about penniless 20-somethings who live in lofts.
They say something like, yeah, three friends in a loft or something. One's an angry waitress.
In like a multicoloured... And it was written by Jenny Bix, the episode, who writes for Friends. So it's definitely...
Ah, there we have it.
Yeah.
I quite fancy Letterman Lou. I can't deny that I don't fancy... He's called, the actor's called Sam Cedar. Similarly, and Miranda starts to adopt his LA state of mind, the kind of quite zen, very positive. It's when Charlotte does arrive in LA and she confesses that, oh my God, you know, Trey and I haven't had sex. And Sam's like, well, why didn't you tell us? And Miranda's like, who are we to judge you? Everyone has their own path. And I love
and LA. Like, LA Miranda,
She's LA from Miranda. Deeply cynical to Deepak Chopra.
I was just going to say this episode particularly interested me because if you remember when I first DM'd about it and you said which one would you were drawn to, and I actually love season three. But this one called out to me specifically because of Miranda's friend character. Because it talked a lot about kind of this kind of idea about the body obsessed LA, which is obviously the idea of which we're all kind of put across with Hollywood. And I'm sure it was like this, but I've been to LA and it doesn't feel like that so much anymore. I don't know. I didn't obviously go when it was like that. But my favorite part and favorite scene of it all was when she meets her friend and he's like completely different. And she's expecting to basically like take the piss out of LA and that, you know, how embarrassing everyone here. And he's like, let's have a drink at this green tea place. And then they go for dinner. And I don't know if you remember this bit, but they go for dinner and he's lost like loads of weight. And she's like, he looks so good and whatever. And he sits down and he cuts his steak. He takes a bite of the steak. He chews it. And then he spits it out into tissue. And she carries on as normal, like in the middle of conversation, and she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, you think I can eat like this and look like this if I eat like this?" And like basically, he has like this massive disordered eating issue, where he doesn't eat food anymore. And I remember watching that, being like, "Oh my God!" Like, so actually, I thought it was quite cool that they covered disordered eating for men because that's something that you don't often see in TV shows. But as a person that's always kind of struggled with food and stuff, like witnessing kind of those ridiculous behaviors that I have also done throughout my life to kind of maintain what I think is the beauty norm, it just was really interesting. And it's then she realizes just how ridiculous it is, these kind of pressures that that LA has put on this person. And it kind of really solidified the message they were trying to put across about LA being this kind of soulless, body obsessive, image obsessive place versus New York, which is eat the New York steak, you know?
It's funny because I think this show, because I literally just watched it before we've gone live, and it seems to me very prescient in that it kind of foresaw the whole wellness thing. And you know, there is such a fine line. It's like a pubic hair. There is literally a pubic hair between what is common sense, healthiness for your mind and body and your mental well-being. And then you tread over the line and you're into some really damaging stuff about clean eating and, you know, and you know, it's kind of, ooh, this is problematic. And I was talking about this. I went for my government-sanctioned walk at the weekend with my friend and we were talking about sort of, like online personal trainers that have been keeping us busy during lockdown. And my friend was like, ooh, you want to be careful of her. She's got some very funny things to say about food. And because I'd just been following her workouts, I hadn't really been looking at her diet plans or food plans. And she's like, yeah, they're fucked. They are fucked. And I looked at them and I was like, oh my God, yeah, that's not good.
I guess the problem with this online stuff as well is like, there's no... what's the word? Regulator. Nuance. There's no one to say this is all bullshit. So I guess you do have to be careful. Oh, it's interesting how we all kind of saw this in our own different ways. I, with the Miranda and her friend who she met up with again, I kind of was relating it to like, he was like saying he was so glad that he'd left like the rat race of New York and gone to like kind of hippie-ish, well-living LA. And I kind of compared that, dare I say it, to moving from London to Brighton a little bit.
Oh, how very dare you, but yes.
But Brighton doesn't have that. Brighton definitely doesn't have that, like, superficial, nasty element. No. Brighton is all, like, Brighton is all loving. But, yeah, it made me think, and it also made me think, like, I saw a headline the other day that made me sad, that is London's population has dropped for the first time since the 80s, because everyone's moving, not everyone, but lots of people are moving away for obvious reasons.
Well, I can see that. Just because it feels like, especially when you're in lockdown, I mean, we're lucky we've got a garden, but we never had before. Like, we only just recently moved here about 2 and a bit years ago, and we never had a garden. So I can totally see why it can be quite damaging to not have access to, like, green space, and London can be quite congested and overpopulated and all those things. But yeah, it is okay. London itself. I see where people meet. Like, that's what I mean about the idea of LA, and, like, people go to LA because they want the nature. But then also, when you go to LA, it's not quite what they say it is. Because I've been to LA and I didn't think I would like it, because I've always been, because I've got all those perceptions of it from what I've seen on TV. And obviously a lot of what we see about US culture is on TV and film, so that's mostly our understanding of it. But I actually really loved LA. But I do think it's funny how they always say, like, you can go and it's like hikes and nature and things, but then you go and there's, like, to get anywhere, it's like a solid hour and a half in a car anyway. And it's just like there's traffic everywhere, and it's, like, really polluted. And obviously the beach is nice, but you know, there's just things that it's, like, funny how things can appear different than they are, and they all kind of hold up. But I actually would love to live in Brighton, so I feel like maybe in the future that's something I would see myself doing.
I think there's a definite, there is, and I think it works both ways, because I think London people, to try get them down to Brighton, you've really got to, like, dangle a carrot on a stick, kind of like, oh, why, we have everything in London, why would we ever need to leave London ever? Whereas then I think the difference is, once you leave London, it's the pace. And I think Brighton has everything London has, but everybody's just stopped caring. Yeah. It kind of feels like, you know, I remember when I moved, so I went from Brighton to London and then back to Brighton. And I remembered when I got to London and a lot of my friends were like, oh yeah, I've got to get up at 6 to go to the gym. And I was like, why? Why would you do that? That's insane. I was like, have a lion. Yeah. And there's just a real sense of, oh, because so many people do come to Brighton from London, a real sense of been there, done that. Like, yeah. I've done my 10 years in London, and now I'm just going to chill. And just like, oh, like, we sometimes look at the pace of London and just, oh my God, no.
That's what made me... That's what made me think of it with this episode. It was like the rat race versus the chill. Like, that was the element. Definitely.
Also, the health thing is very common. The health plate, like, is in London's, like, some unhealthy place, and it's actually not, like, if I think about the access you have to literally so many diverse types of amazing food here, it's, like, actually incredible.
Oh, yeah.
The bit on them, there's this part on the episode where Charlotte's ordering food and she's like, can I have an egg white omelette with a side of fruit with no grapes, and can I have mushrooms? And then the woman's like, do you want them steamed, because they reduce the calories? And it's like, she's like, I love it here. And it's so funny because like, obviously, LA is known for its, like, ridiculous
excess,
all healthy kind of salads and vibes. But
I actually thought that was one of the best devices they used to convey what LA was like, was when you expected the waitress to, like, look at Charlotte weirdly, but actually she loved it and she was like, oh yeah, great, and you can do this as well. Like, I'm sure that's, like, so LA. And, like, of course Charlotte loves LA.
Yeah. I just thought that was just so poignant of, like, the whole situation. But, you know, I think as well it kind of conveyed this obsession with health and well-being, and, like, how as a society we're deeply obsessed with that. Like, I actually just this week, the last couple of weeks, I announced I was on the cover of Cosmopolitan UK, which was an issue all about kind of health and well-being. And it's so funny. I've just had, like, a succession of 4 weeks of solid abuse, basically, because people said I shouldn't have been on the cover. And it just remind me of, like, there are these kind of very strict camps. It's like you can or can't participate, and I get that vibe they were trying to put across, as like, you can't be like that if you live in New York. You can't be a person that is like Charlotte. You have to be a person that's like, I'll just do whatever I want and I'll go and get a New York slice. And in LA you couldn't possibly order a pizza. Like, it's like this idea of people just kind of stick to these kind of concepts and they never move in between. And so it's just interesting watching that back and being like, we have literally not changed. We're still there.
I'm so glad you brought up the Cosmo cover, Kelly, because I wanted to, because I think that ties really nicely with Carrie's question, which is where people have seen you on the cover of a magazine and decided, based on how you look, how can you possibly be healthy? They don't know you. They don't know about your lifestyle. And I think it relates directly to a lot of the conversations that we have publicly about trans people as well, whereby we are completely judged, usually on our bodies. Mm. And the hysteria around trans men and trans women, or the repulsion that we read about in some of the tabloids around trans people, again, is based solely on the outside. It's based on how we look, or the surgeries we've had or haven't had. And so I think Carrie's question, granted she's talking about a fake Fendi handbag, but actually I think it's a really big question.
Yeah.
Because, you know, marginalised people are constantly judged on what's on the outside. So it is a big problem.
Yeah, it is. It is like being on kind of, the funny thing was there was 11 of us that I did the main cover with two other women. And then there was 11 of us in total, but there was only two kind of really plus size people that were in there. And the two people that were plus size have been absolutely annihilated. You know, I've had to kind of, I actually was kind of suffering quite bad with my mental health during it, because I was in lockdown and I was watching as like Good Morning Britain was like ripping me apart, all these different TV channels and people asking me to come on and debate my humanity about why I, you know, am or am not healthy. But also people just don't read, like, the concept of what we spoke about in that was that it doesn't matter, essentially I was saying, doesn't matter if you're healthy or not, but we need to be open to, you know, in having inclusive spaces, and also for people to be able to explore this no matter what. But the problem is we're still living in this very stereotypical, judgmental society where we demand that whatever we do is the right thing for everybody else. And it's not like exactly what you said, is like this obsession with knowing, like, does a person dress this way? Do they look a particular type way? And that defines their femininity or whatever. It's like, no, we should be having conversations about how we can improve well-being, and like also just stop cyberbullying full stop, because quite honestly it's disgusting the way, and it's actually risen during lockdown, I think, because people have had more time on their hands and they're on their phones constantly, and they are looking at other people's lives and projecting things. And I understand, like, it's hard out here, it's hard watching as everybody, you know, people you think have everything and you don't have it. But we do have to have this conversation. And this episode kind of really, I think, was a really good one for pinning this idea of like this image obsessed society that we live in, and how that drives such terrible stereotypes and bad judgments and the mistreatment of people, really.
Mm. Yeah, again, it's a shame. Although actually, I really enjoy this episode. I think it's a really fun episode. But again, it doesn't go there in terms of Carrie. It doesn't even enter Carrie's head to ask the question in a more meaningful way.
No.
About kind of, she doesn't even really attempt to counter it by saying, you know, where is the truth, or where is the kindness, or the empathy, or the compassion? I guess the episode resolves itself when she finds that she wants something more real.
Yeah,
and by the end of the episode, all four women are desperate to get back to New York, and I guess not because LA is bad, but because they have seen a facade, I guess, and Carrie in particular gets lied to, which is again, she kind of, what Vince Vaughn's character does is really shady, in that he kind of lies to get her into bed, and that kind of she kind of lets that one slide. Slightly, the fact he's completely misled her into thinking that he is certainly a lot wealthier than he is, or has a lot more influence than he is. He turns out, Vince Vaughn turns out to be Carrie Fisher's assistant, which is an amazing scene.
And then Carrie Fisher's like, Carrie Bradshaw is like rabbiting on, like, I'm Carrie Bradshaw, I'm blah, and Carrie Fisher just looks at her and she's like, I have a kid, I can't do this, like, get out of my house.
I just love Carrie Fisher so much. To say she's in one scene, she does so much with her one moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
I had another thought about the appearance thing. It's interesting that we've all had tastes of this. I guess it comes from, like, working in and around the media partly as well. And I think what you said is really important, Callie, because I think a lot of people, me included, sometimes it's easy to think like, oh, it's all fine now. Everything's really inclusive.
Yeah.
And it's all fine. But actually it's not. And I was just thinking about it with my own experiences. And I thought it was interesting when Miranda said to the guy, is it Lou?
Yeah, Lou. York,
when she was like, you don't need to look good. You're a writer. From 10 years of working in gay media in London, you do need to look good if you're a writer. It really helps. So that's interesting. A lot of gay publications, I think, I'm not going to name any names, but certainly have hired based on looks.
It applies to women as well. I mean, when you look at authors or journalists who've broken through, look at them. They tend to be very young women. They tend to be in their very early 20s. And they get booked for BBC Breakfast. And sometimes, and I had a very worthwhile conversation with an author called Samantha Shannon, who is amazing. And her novels, she writes incredible fantasy fiction. But the story about Sam Shannon when she got her book deal is she was 19 years old. And so they booked her to go on BBC Breakfast to be like, oh my gosh, so you're 19. And, you know, nobody was interested in what she had to say. It was all about the fact she was a young, very pretty woman. And, you know, we see it, you know, kind of from Florence Given, Dolly Alderton, Scarlett Curtis, you know, very young, sort of very photogenic women. It helps. And you know, and that's not to say they're not incredibly talented writers.
They've coined something on that. They've coined that now as pretty privilege. Someone coined something saying it's pretty privilege. I don't know about you, but I'm obsessed with TikTok. I spend ridiculous amount of hours on that app. And after I promised myself I wouldn't, now I love it. It's like so. It's actually really. If you're on the right pages, it shows you what you enjoy, and it's obviously lots of kind of political commentary, comedy, and that sort of thing. And it was like someone did this thing, which is like, tell us you have pretty privilege without telling us you have pretty privilege. And it's like silly things like that. But it is true. I think anyone would be lying if they would say that it isn't easier. Your life is not navigating your life as a beautiful person that's socially acceptable is way easier than anybody that lives in a marginalized body. Because every single step of what you do as a person that is naturally beautiful and kind of owns a room when they come into it, it's much harder to be, you know, size 26 and, you know, be exactly what happened, which was people were like, why are you on the cover of Cosmo? They should have had a healthy person. But like, let's be real, they weren't testing Kate Moss when they were putting her on the covers of magazines to see if she was healthy when she was doing different covers. And like, I'm not, who am I to judge whether or not Kate Moss is unhealthy? But like, if you were to, if it's that kind of double standard, is like, if people say they care about health, then why aren't they like health vetting everybody? And that means like, you know, if they smoke 60 cigarettes a day or do lines of coke, like, I don't do that. And then I'm told I'm not healthy and I shouldn't be on there. But it's because my body's larger and someone says that I'm, you know, promoting obesity, which is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's just interesting how people don't realise just how much harder it is when you aren't socially acceptable and what kind of reaction that brings on somebody. And I also have to admit that I suppose I do have my own privilege in the body positive community. I'm white, so in itself, that's the biggest privilege I could possibly have. And when I first started, I suppose I kind of fit that socially acceptable plus size, you know, pretty brunette, you know, that kind of, I call myself pretty, but, you know, do I have pretty privilege, Callie? But like, it's like, it is interesting. And like, you do step back and you realize that it's actually kind of shocking the way that people discredit other people because they don't fit this kind of standard. And I think we all need to move past this idea of telling people, oh, but you're beautiful. It doesn't matter, you're beautiful. It's like, what if you're not beautiful? And when I say that, I don't mean like beauty within. I'm talking about like what traditionally we see as beauty, because everything changes. Like, you know, back many centuries ago, it was so beautiful to be my size. There was paintings adorned of women in my body shape. Now people see me as a disgusting, obese, terrible person that's promoting bad health. But like, that just goes to show you how the wheel's constantly changing. Like, there's always a new change. Like, you know, at one point we moved from the Kate Moss heroin chic to Kardashian curvy, big bum, voluptuous breasts. Like, it's always, they're always changing the dial. Like, we can never, ever win, basically.
And it's so frustrating that people don't realise that the only reason they think what they think is because they've been told to think that. Like, yeah. They don't actually, like, do you know what I mean? Like, they're not really thinking for themselves. They're just like, oh, that's, I've seen that that's bad, therefore it's bad.
To finish on... And it just keeps getting more problematic. So who should we pick on first? There's both Vince Vaughn and Hugh Hefner. Equally problematic, if we're honest. Vince Vaughn is a massive... I didn't realise this. Vince Vaughn is one of very few Republican voices in Hollywood.
No.
Donald Trump fan.
Oh, no Vince. Way!
And who then else is? There's Chris Thingy, who's in the event. Who's in Guardians of the Galaxy. Isn't he a...
Chris Hemsworth. Well,
Chris Pratt. It's Chris Pratt. So he is married to now Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter. And obviously Arnold Schwarzenegger is Republican, but he is a much more moderate Republican.
Oh, so
I think there's been rumours about Chris Pratt. He's pro-guns, as is Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn has stated very publicly he thinks that Americans should have a right to bear arms. So I think Chris Pratt... is somewhere, he's quite, maybe what in this country we would call a shy Tory.
Yeah.
In that he's kind of like small C conservative. But even more problematic is Hugh Hefner. And I know since this episode aired, Samantha's idolisation of Hugh Hefner has aged poorly. Mm. When Hugh Hefner died, various women came forward and said that he was very controlling and manipulative towards women.
Yeah.
He often plied all through the 70s and 80s, plied women with drugs to make them more compliant, particularly Quaaludes. Linda Lovelace, of Deep Throat fame, Linda Lovelace suggested that he had sexually assaulted her. So I think we should be very cautious around Hugh Hefner and women.
You know what? Do you know what, speaking as a man, I kind of excused it in this context because it made sense in context. Like, Samantha in the early noughties would have idolised Hugh Hefner, I think. Samantha's character would have. Therefore, like, it made sense within the confines of that character.
I think she would have because she has always appeared the sex positive person in all of the every single series. And actually, when you look back, like, she's probably one of the least problematic out of all of them because of the fact that she's always been very, like, doesn't matter what you do, like, just as long as you're doing it for you and you're happy. And she's always been very pro, you know, positive about sex and, you know, like, she doesn't shame people for their decisions. But I do think that kind of, yeah, like, the way that we look at that kind of idea of a man owning a mansion where he just gathers women to basically be, and it's like this idea of him, like the scene when they're just like, there's just women surrounding him around this huge, it just feels quite, I don't know, quite icky to me.
It's interesting that in that, like, 20 years ago, that was considered like glam, wasn't it?
Mm.
And like fabulous. And now we watch it and we're like, ooh.
Mm. Old man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is, and I think Playboy continued to get naffer and naffer because it couldn't, almost the level of extremism that you can find on the internet made Playboy look quaint and charming. And I think you saw a little bit of that in this episode where you're kind of like, you know, it's almost a bit seaside, isn't it? Just like sexy ladies in bikinis with big blonde hair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then it became even more apparent, I think 5 years later, along came The House Bunny. The movie with Anna Faris, which sends up the Playboy in an even more camp and kind of, I wonder if pornography on broadband rendered Playboy harmless.
Yeah.
And I think we would need a whole second hour to talk about how harmless, from a women's rights perspective, it ever was. And of course, Gloria... famously, in the 1970s, Gloria Steinem went undercover as a Playboy bunny. It was one of the things that kind of pushed Gloria Steinem into the public eye, which is she exposed Playboy as being treating women very, very badly. Mm. So I'm going to say I shan't be lighting a candle for Hugh Hefner, but it's nice, you know, again, with this podcast, we do shine a light on the feminist credentials, but certainly this is not the worst. It's not the worst offender in Sex and the City.
One thing I will say, biggest mood of the episode is Charlotte sitting by a pool at the Playboy Mansion talking about David Hockney. Like, amazing.
Oh my
like,
God.
With a drink. Just like talking about David Hockney. So
well, their swimwear and their cover-ups were so iconic.
When
they all walk in their maxi dresses.
But also, is there a bit when they talk, like Samantha's talking to someone about like who did her boobs or something? Did I completely make that up?
That's later.
I do remember that, but I don't think it's from this one. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
It's interesting.
I love it as well when she's saying when Samantha thinks one of them has stolen her bag.
Oh my God.
And she's like, it's the one that says made in China with loads of condoms in it.
Oh, that is so that good. That whole bag thing is a funny little moment, actually, when she buys the bag and with all the dogs being attacked when she's getting it.
But I also love that, like, Samantha's very clearly not a snob. Like, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, who cares? Like, as long as it looks like it's not fake, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, Carrie, who has been carrying around Christian Dior handbags now for 3 seasons, suddenly can't afford a Fendi handbag. It's like, hang on a minute. She has a wardrobe full of Dior saddlebags. So, but maybe interesting now that she's decided to grow a conscience about no doubt sort of slave labour and child labour and fake handbags. I think in the end, we always finish up by attempting to answer Carrie's question. Is it what's on the outside that counts? No, but it's also completely inescapable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. But I'm like, I'm just so bored of it now. I'm honestly like, I'm at the point where I'm just like, can we move past this, please? Because I just don't understand why we're so obsessed with how people look. Like, what has that got to do with anything? Like, truly, like, that's why people are saying this, the Clubhouse app is doing really well at the moment, because people are saying it's no faces, it's all voice, and people are actually having conversations, and, you know, you can't put a face to someone, what they're saying, because I do think, like, ultimately, having platforms and having large followings and all this sort of thing, like, I definitely have done it myself, where I've gone onto a person's page and I've looked and thought, well, they have, like, a big following or whatever, and they've got a blue tick, like, as if that kind of separates someone from being better than someone else, but actually that's bullshit, really. Like, what is that about anything? But it does, these things do come at you subconsciously and you don't realize, and it's definitely something that I'm trying to work on, especially with kind of the work that I've done in the body positive community, and the work I'm doing is like realizing that we need to make a space where we don't, you know, I try and limit the amount of times I'm always saying like, love yourself, and you know you're beautiful and this and that, because it's like that we need to have like deeper conversations that deal with other issues that aren't related to image. Like, we need to get to the nitty-gritty of like understanding that it doesn't actually matter if you aren't attractive or aren't beautiful or don't have all these things. It matters about like what you bring to the world, like what you have to say, and how you can make impact and how you can make a difference, and how you are is completely okay to do whatever you want. Like, my belief has always been, and I've always been taught this since I was young, is that no matter, as long as someone is not harming someone else with what they do, as long as they're not racist, homophobic, sexist, transphobic, just let people live their lives. So long as they're not causing anyone harm or breaking any human rights laws, let people be. Like, I think we've become obsessed with critiquing other people and like deciding what we think is the version of something for us, and it's like, just let people do what they want, and quite frankly, mind your business, really. Like, it's just ridiculous, some of it.
Absolutely. Well,
that is the best thing I've heard all year.
Oh.
we've solved the world. You are welcome, world. Callie, thank you so much for coming on to So I Got to Thinking.
Yeah, thank you.
You have been an absolute revelation.
Oh, thank you. I love this.
Where can our followers find you online, please?
So I'm Callie Thorpe on Instagram, And I also have another page, which is called The Confidence Corner, which is a page that I created specifically for women on a journey to finding confidence and, you know, specifically plus size people that feel like there's no space for them to be honest about certain things. And we're actually launching like a membership space shortly, which is a space for people to kind of really delve into these subjects a bit deeper, actually, on in a private, more kind of safe space. And that's probably about it, really. But please, if you ever have a slot free again, I'd happily come on. I absolutely love Sex and Zissy, so I would love to. I truly, there's so many episodes I enjoy, and I've loved chatting with you both. You're so ace, loved it.
Oh, thank you so much. You are welcome back literally anytime.
Yeah, for any episode that flags and you can't get someone in, just give me a ring, you know, I'm there.
We'll hook you up.
I'm clearly not busy.
None of us are. Yeah. Please do join us next week when we will be watching season 3, episode 15, Hot Child in the City, which is another one of my absolute favourites. You can find us at SIGTT Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. And don't forget to subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Bye for now.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.